Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
In the wake of George Floyd's death in Minneapolis last May, and during the nationwide protests that followed, the Portland City Council made a decision to shutter the gun violence reduction team. In the months since, gun violence has spiked, growing to an average of 3 shootings per day. Today, an in-depth discussion about that decision, the ramifications, and the city's plan to try and reverse a disturbing trend. I'm Ian Costello. It is Tuesday, February 9th, and this is Beyond the Headlines on the COIN Podcast Network.
This is Ian.
Ian, hey, it's Robert King.
Robert King is the safety advisor for Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler. Robert, can you help me understand the role you play in helping the mayor's office oversee the safety of people in Portland?
I spent about 30 years in law enforcement, retired in 2018 as commander of North Precinct for Portland Police Bureau. And Mayor Wheeler asked me to come back and advise on safety, livability in Portland related to the delivery of public safety services and ensuring that there is a responsive, effective safety net out there for Portlanders.
You've been here for a while. You just mentioned a long time law enforcement career. You were a precinct commander, and then I came to know you as the public information officer for the Portland Police Bureau. And at one time, you served as the president of the police union. Now you're working at the mayor's office. As someone who's been dedicated to public service and public safety in Portland, who obviously cares about this city, what's been the most concerning or hurtful about the rise in shootings over the last several months?
Well, the concerning and the hurtful is the cost, you know, the actual loss of life for people who are victims of homicide. Also, those people that have been injured. There have been many rounds fired into the neighborhoods of Portland, and that creates fear for anyone and for everyone. And so the increase that we have seen here since July has been traumatic, you know, for Portlanders and Portland families. And it's happening around the country. We're seeing it here. And the trauma, the loss of life, the tragedy of that, and the fear and the traumatic nature of these incidents is the motivation behind conversations that are happening right now to find the best way to address it.
Do you find it personally disheartening?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I spent my entire professional life wanting to protect people. And when you swear an oath to protect other people, the first and most important thing is the protection and the preservation of human life, along with their physical well-being, their rights, you know, their property. For so many of the public safety issues, we are evolving in both our understanding of what's happening around us and what we need to be doing together differently to solve it. And part of the reason I say that is there's always a certain responsibility. There's always a certain role for law enforcement to play. A big part of what's happening right now is, and urgently, we're thinking and talking through what it is we need to do differently here that involves an evidence-based kind of harm reduction model that we know works because it's worked elsewhere, but it also has the necessary police and law enforcement component. You know, we are obviously as a community and as a country in a very real crisis with COVID and all of its impacts. But since George Floyd was murdered in May, there is an entirely different conversation happening around policing all around the country. That's a part of the context of why we're having the conversation now in the way that we are.
When you speak of that current context and what has happened since George Floyd's murder in May and the protests on the streets of Portland, it doesn't take long to get to the gun violence reduction team. Can you go into a little bit of the original mission? What was the mission of the gun violence reduction team?
Well, it began as the Portland Police Bureau gang enforcement team. And then in, I believe, 2018, 2019, the Police Bureau made a shift working with the Office of Violence Prevention in the approach that they took. The gun violence reduction team launched a new approach where it didn't just focus exclusively on in-group. You know, it's another way of thinking of gang violence. It also looked at domestic violence. It looked at suicides. It looked at robberies and any and everything that had a nexus to gun violence. And so it expanded its approach. That was the beginning of a shift in, you know, sort of the tone and in the approach. But one of the things that the gang team experienced in Portland was an audit from the auditor's office. And it said that African-American men were disproportionately stopped when compared to census data, and that there wasn't reporting that showed and connected seizure of evidence or arrests from those stops. So that led to this re-envisioned gun violence reduction team. And they did a tremendous amount of good work. But the numbers in terms of the stops, the overrepresentation of African-American men persisted. And there were concerns about that in the community. And after George Floyd was murdered, the council was in a position where it prioritized African-American voices and police reform because there were still concerns about the overrepresentation in stops. There was a move on city council to eliminate that unit and return resources back to the street. So that happened in July in response to the social justice movement, the extraordinary outpouring of peaceful support that we saw in the Black Lives Matter protests and demonstrations. And I remember one night in particular, among many nights, there was a demonstration on the Burnside Bridge, and hundreds or thousands of Portlanders showed up to peacefully protest and to stand in solidarity with communities of color. The council responded to those calls for reform.
The movement is underway. GVRT is disbanded in July. You look at the numbers from Portland Police Bureau, and you can see that in between June and July of 2020, we began to see even more of a violent spike in shooting and gun crimes. We were averaging about 44 a month up until then in 2020, and then it more than doubled to 105 per month. Do you see a connection between the GVRT getting shut down and an increase in gun violence?
There's obviously an impact. You know, certainly homicides increased, injury shootings increased, shootings in the aggregate increased. All of that happened. As a result of that happening, the mayor and chief talked extensively through the month of July and August about addressing it. And the chief brought additional investigative resources to the detective division to do investigative work on those cases.
Is it too early for us to be seeing the results of that? When you look at the numbers, those additional resources don't seem to be reducing the number of shootings. Is that move leading to more arrests?
Not necessarily. These are extremely difficult investigative cases from the standpoint of the lack of cooperation that officers and detectives receive. So it was a step in the direction of holding people accountable and making arrests where possible. But as the numbers, both here and around the country, continued on their same sort of trajectory, one of the things that happened in December was, in response to that, the mayor asked the chief to provide him with a plan that involved increasing the city's effort on different fronts that would start to show an impact or have an effect on the rising gun violence. So the memo outlined certain strategic efforts all through this lens of sort of the more holistic kind of harm reduction. But it was reinvigorating the shooting review. It involved adding back, not GVRT, but it involved adding back in patrol officers on afternoon shift that could play a deterrent or interdicting role. The third thing that it recommended was a community stakeholder group that would play an oversight role. It really is a shift in the strategy that is more consistent with better results and community expectations.
Hindsight being an unfair application, when you look back from the mayor's office, from your office, when you look back at the decision that was made in July to disband that GVRT, and now a lot of this strategy is taking steps back toward some of the things that the GVRT was doing, do you think it was a mistake to disband it, or did it need to be kind of shut off for a while to take a look at what needed to be done?
You know, with the benefit of, obviously, of hindsight, all of us, you know, in our lives see everything much more clearly. But my answer to that is this, that we couldn't have anticipated the escalation would have put us on the trajectory that we are on now. It is reasonable to conclude there could be an increase, but the spike and the increase in the surge we've seen here and that communities all around the country have seen has been very dramatic and beyond, I think, what people ever expected in light of that decision. And I just want to, just with respect to kind of not just hindsight, but also context, one of the things that we have seen and we saw and we all remember, let's go back to the murder of George Floyd. And there were other examples of African-American men and women in the country that had been killed by police. And we in Portland had 100 days plus of demonstrations and protests, and most of them peaceful. Many of the people in attendance engaged in peaceful protest. Many, however, did not. They engaged in violent action. They engaged in crime. They attacked officers. They damaged buildings. They lit things on fire. So I'm saying all that to say, today, when a police officer anywhere in this country uses force or uses deadly force, it's the subject of intense scrutiny, and rightly so. But today we have to be much more thoughtful and much more confident that the law enforcement tactics that we are applying in this broader strategy are supported and endorsed by our community, and especially communities of color that have been impacted disproportionately in the homicides. In 2020, there were 55 homicides, and of those, half of the people that were victims of homicide are from the BIPOC community. So we are engaged in efforts to build and earn trust back. It's more important now that we do it right, more important now than ever before, because the consequences today of getting it wrong are so much more severe for everybody. We understand the urgent nature of it and the crisis of it and the emergency nature of it. The mayor does, the council does. Just this last week, they had a presentation before the beginning of city council that was a PowerPoint that showed both the pictures and the names of all of the community members who've lost their lives to homicide in our community. It was powerful and moving to them. They recognize and understand what the stakes are. They're engaged in these conversations and efforts to re-envision. It's what communities called for. The world has changed. You know, the context has changed.
You said that the GVRT was in a situation of disproportionately targeting communities of color. But when you step back from a task force like that, and it is the communities of color that then become disproportionately victimized by an increase in the violence, is that a square peg in a round hole that is almost impossible to get your head around as to how to do it perfectly?
I take very seriously community concerns about overrepresentation of African Americans. Now, on the other hand, I wouldn't say that the officers of GVRT targeted. They knew as a practical matter that, unfortunately, many of the suspects, many of the victims, many of the witnesses that were involved in the in-group violence were people of color. But one of the problems that they suffered was they were unable to articulate why they had made the different stops that they had made, which continue to reinforce or raise questions about their actions. You're circling around an issue that is top of mind for me. There's a disparity, say, in the stops numbers going back to 2019 compared to residential population. But now there's another set of numbers that are out there that you point to, and that is that the number of people that are being harmed by this are disproportionately African-American or Latino. And so at a time when we're saying Black Lives Matter, I'm keeping that top of mind, and I know the mayor is, to ensure that we're taking steps to be able to answer the question about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it again, to earn and build and grow community trust, you know, we're shifting in our understanding of the right way to go about this. We're tackling this as a community. We're not just tackling this as a separate and discrete sort of police action.
Robert, thank you so very much for spending some time with me. What's something about gun violence in Portland most people probably don't understand that you wish they did?
You know, it is a very unfortunate example of a lot of systems failures that brings people to a point where they think that the only way to engage in disputes is by getting a gun and shooting another person. And so that really requires, you know, the community, the city council, the county, the sheriff, the DA, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Portland Police Bureau, Portland Probation, Office of Violence Prevention. It really requires all of us to do a deeper dive into causes and conditions. And as we put together our strategy for what we're going to do going forward, the strategy is all-encompassing, and it has tactics that we know work. It helps people to get out of the life of shooting other people. It has the prevention work that needs to be done to address this scourge that's happening here and around the country. It has the enforcement branch or element, and it encompasses all of those pieces. But most importantly, it has the authorization of our community to do this work. It takes time, precious time, time we don't have. We're committed to doing it, but we're committed to doing it right so that Portland curbs this violence in a way that the trend line goes the other direction. And it goes the other direction because of a very intentional and strategic effort on our part to solve for this. But it's all done in the broader context of authorization from community to get better results for our city.
Thank you very much, sir.
Ian, pleasure. Thank you very much.
Last Thursday, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler told Coin 6 News that combating the rise in gun violence was the city's top public safety priority. That will do it for us today. Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.